today on Real Radio.
But once the feelings go away, and Davey, you and I live in a culture right now where it's all about feelings.
Yeah.
When the feeling goes away, then I look for somebody else. Well, that is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you're going from one sugar rush to the next, and you never wind up having a depth.
Yeah.
That when that stuff evaporates, now you get to know who the person really is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. This is a special edition of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, and I'm glad you're spending some time with us today. We're going to deal with a subject that's close to a lot of folks' hearts in the audience, I'm sure, divorce. Whether you've been divorced yourself or your parents or somebody you know in your life has probably been divorced. We're looking specifically at 1 Corinthians, letter by Paul, chapter 7, verses 10 through 24. Paul talks about God, marriage, about divorce. Now, earlier we looked at a series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Pastor Jack, a lot of folks were really interested in that series. We actually had a lot of people write in and say, you know, send me that series.
Yeah. I think all they had to do is hear the title and they got interested in it.
Yeah. Perked up. We also looked at God's plan for a healthy marriage in God, Love, and Marriage, dash, What Sex Got to Do with It.
Right.
Have you got any immediate thoughts on going from one that one subject into the other?
Well, I mean, you can't separate all these things. Communication, finances, sex, spirituality in the home. How someone relates to one another. These are just the dynamics of what makes up the incredibly technically interwoven mechanics of a marriage.
Mm.
You know, marriage, I think it's safe to say, can provide the most wonderful joys that a human can experience in all areas. And then on the flip side, the most devastating pain, sorrow, and suffering. And why is that the case? So we took a look at what the Bible has to say, which is a really, if anybody knows this program, we really underline that because of how we are so easily led astray by our emotions, by our culture, by sitcoms, by maybe sitting down with a neighbor and talking about stuff relating to marriage, and it really goes away from the biblical help and guidance that the Bible provides.
Now, how long have you been married?
34 years, coming up, 34 years.
There's a great quote that we actually stole from inside of our God, Marriage, and Divorce series on DVD, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And we wrote it down for you, because we're not even sure we remembered if you said it. But go ahead, read the quote.
Well, this is what you guys reminded me that I had written down. I'm looking at it right now in my own hand. I wrote in my notes, so this is a personal thing, Davey, that in the teaching I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned when we talked about 1 Corinthians 7, 10 to 24. And I wrote this: I'm humbled and thankful to announce that Lisa and I are now celebrating, coming up on 34 years of marriage. I was 21 and she was 19 when we got married. She still looks 19, by the way. I'm a very blessed man. We knew, by the way, that we were to be married. We were Christians when we met each other. We prayed hard. We sought God. And it wasn't like it was some big mystery for us. So we knew that. And he made it very clear to us. We love one another, and we've loved one another through thick and thin. Up and down times come to all marriages. And so what's been very, very good of God for me, I hope Lisa feels the same, is that for these last 22, 23 years of public ministry, the Lord has kept us. And that's a tremendous thing, because marriage is tough.
Yeah.
But in Christian ministry, that's almost all you hear about is broken marriages, broken homes.
Yeah.
And you begin to wonder, gosh, is anybody going to make it? Does anybody make it? We do make it.
We do make it, yeah.
And the Lord has kept us together and loving one another, and we look forward to the future. And the bottom line is because Jesus is the center. And that's the key. No one's got a perfect marriage. That doesn't exist. Everyone is to work at their marriage. Through thick and thin, keep Christ in the center. That's not going to happen naturally.
And let's give them this. I mean, your wife, my wife, producer Steve's wife, they're saints.
Absolutely.
God bless them.
They put up with us three guys.
Exactly. God bless them. What was it that, okay, so you say that you knew you were to be married.
Yeah.
Was that quick? Was it? What
no,
was it?
Well, I say no. Number one, when I first met Lisa, now look, for I mean this to be an encouragement. I didn't meet Lisa in a church service. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. I didn't meet her in a youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. At a young age, as I said, 21. Actually, I was 20, making really good money here in Southern California, supervising a construction company to the point where this was my day at work. As long as I was near a phone, I could command the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had crews out working. What was I doing? Well, I was working.
Sure.
I was playing volleyball at the beach down in Newport every day.
Near a phone, sure.
As long as I was near a phone, it was all good. Making too much money for a kid that age. And I saw, with a friend of mine, I saw this beautiful girl walking across the beach with her friend. And but that was it.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine said, hey, I know her from school. She's an amazing Christian young woman. I said, nah, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Christian. God wants me to make money. And that's it. Well, we wound up talking. And for about 6 weeks, Davey, she was amazing and wonderful and spiritually deep, 19 years of age, spiritually deep. It was fantastic. And I was committed to protecting myself in the sense that I wasn't going to get involved with anybody because I didn't think that was going to be good for my walk. And yet I began now to have these feelings of, I don't want to lose this girl. She is so special. She
yeah.
loves God. She's got a lot of wisdom. Her Bible at 19 years old, her Bible was all marked up and worn
yeah.
out, which
yeah.
was awesome.
Yeah.
And we were going to church together. And, at about 6 weeks, I knew she's so amazing. I don't want her out of my life. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that for the rest of my life, boy, I either need somebody like this
yeah.
or, maybe she could be the one.
Yeah.
And just, I got to tell you, just going to church and spending time together, we had Christian friends together. We went out with many people together in groups type stuff. I saw her in a lot of environments, which is very cool. And it came to the point for me where in praying all along the way, she brought out the best in me regarding my Christian faith. We were sitting at church. The plate went by, tithing plate. And mm-hmm. I had never tithed.
Sure.
Because the church I was going to was very wealthy. It's very big. And I thought,
well, why bother?
Hey, I need my money more than they
sure.
do. I mean, just look around. And so she, I mean, this is, you know, I've known her for a month at this point. She pokes me in the ribs and says, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I go, what? She goes, you didn't put a penny in the tithe as it went by. And I go, well, look around.
Yeah.
This place doesn't need my help. And she goes, that has nothing to do with it. Well, we were in a church service, so we shut that down until we got out in the parking lot.
Sure.
Where she proceeded to beat me up and tell me that it was a revelation of my selfish heart.
Right.
And that money in my life borders on idolatry.
Yeah.
She was absolutely right.
Yeah.
So I figured, I think this is somebody that I should marry.
Yeah.
She brought out a deeper walk for me. And so, and by the way, I believe that to this day. Two Christians coming together, their witness should be multiplied, not recessed.
Yep.
It should not retard. It should not regress.
Right.
It should progress. If mm-hmm. God brings two Christians together, your witness should increase. Your influence should increase. And so that's what we've experienced in our lives. She's been fantastic. And, you know, it's vital that Christ be the center. And as I said earlier, you got to work at it.
You know, I don't know if your wife Lisa knows this. My wife loves coming to this church because of Lisa and because of her ministry to the women. Yeah,
yes.
You're a good preacher. Yeah, you're interesting to listen to. But Lisa is the one that, you know, that
I hear that.
She's the reason that my wife comes to this church.
I hear that. People come to this church mainly for two reasons from what I hear from people in the foyer or in the courtyard. Pastor Jack, we've been coming now to this church. My wife loves this church.
Yeah.
Number two, Pastor Jack, we're coming to this church because the children's ministry here is second to none.
Right.
We tolerate your teaching, but the kids are growing and my wife loves this church. Well, we'll take them any way we can get them.
Exactly. You brought up a good point that the Christian walk should be multiplied when
yep.
two Christians come together.
Yep.
Marriage, I mean, if we were all sitting in this room to admit, it's not easy sometimes.
Right.
And it's absolutely amazing other times.
Right.
I was a single man for a good portion of my adult life, and I remember thinking to myself, it's easier to be single.
Absolutely.
It's easier to be single, but I am a better human being
oh, yeah.
when I'm married.
Marriage is a ministry.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I could really get down to the brass tacks of it all, you know, and say to a couple that's thinking about getting married, which, by the way, we have an amazing premarital course here that flushes out these things. I always want to stress to them, are you ready now to literally, physically wash his feet or wash her feet?
Wow.
Or when he or she has the flu, to mop up after them.
Yeah.
Are you really ready to no longer promote your interest first, but theirs?
Yeah.
Because listen, that flies in the face of infatuation, that flies in the face of emotion.
Yeah.
Because love is the decision. Imagine for a moment if all of us had that first 6 month feeling regarding our spouse to be.
Yeah.
And we're all excited and everything is crazy. You're talking on the phone till the wee hours of the morning. You get these goosebumps when he or she walks by or gives you that look. You get all excited. Imagine if that stayed with you for the next 34 years.
Right.
You'd probably never get to work on time.
Yeah.
You would never mow the lawn. You would never do anything that has to be done to propagate and to establish a successful marriage, children,
right,
and home. Yeah. Because why? Because it is all emotionally driven. Those things are fine in their place.
Mm-hmm.
But once the feelings go away, and Davey, you and I live in a culture right now where it's all about feelings.
Yeah.
When the feeling goes away, then I look for somebody else. Well, that is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you're going from one sugar rush to the next, and you never wind up having a depth.
Yeah.
That when that stuff evaporates, now you get to know who the person really is.
Yeah.
I say this to young people a lot, or people who are contemplating getting married. How have you guys handled an argument? What? And I always get a little leery when somebody says, well, we've been dating each other for 2 years and we've never had an argument.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
And I need to say, I tell you what, why don't you just hold off for a little bit?
Yeah.
Why? Because who says they're sorry in the argument? How does the argument go? When there's a disagreement, does he yell or does she go out? Does she bite the cat?
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What goes on when these things happen? You need to know that before you commit your lifelong love to someone and you don't quite know them. Or how do they handle finances? A lot of things that bother me. I guess I'm old school, Davey, but when you get married and you're supposed to share your life with one another, and that means your house, the address, you know, your bodies.
Yeah.
And then I hear about couples having separate vacations, separate bank accounts.
How does that work?
But we're supposed to go to bed together?
Right, exactly.
This is insane.
Yeah. So let's talk about divorce, but I'm going to bring up a little anecdote for you. A dear friend of mine, his wife and he were in counseling, and they were headed for divorce. And he admitted to me one day, he says, we're not going to make it. We're headed for divorce. Only a week later, he came and said, she's got breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, what's happening with the counseling? He says, who needs it?
Wow.
He said, all the little stuff has gone away.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, he realized, I love this woman.
Wow.
All that little stuff is gone. And you know what? It was the little stuff that was going to cause their divorce.
That's
they didn't even realize
I
that.
I believe that's true in many cases, not all.
Right.
Because someone's going to write us and say, Pastor, I appreciate what you said. Yeah, a lot of little stuff adds up. Solomon said it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in this case, a crisis hit.
Yeah.
And a crisis, it may not be cancer, but a crisis may be that a wife or a husband has discovered that their spouse is with someone else in adultery. As God said, I hate divorce. In our culture today, we're counseled, even in some churches. Well, look, there's been unfaithfulness. You got to get a divorce.
Yeah.
And they actually encourage this home that is in a crisis. Well, just go get a divorce.
Yeah.
As though that is the
fix-all.
Yeah, the fix-all.
Yeah,
By the way, I've never seen it. I've never seen it to be the fix-all.
Yeah.
But, you know, many people are being counseled today. Well, you know what? Was there unfaithfulness? Yes, she was unfaithful or he was unfaithful. Oh, you got to get a divorce. No. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, chapter 5, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation first. Even in adultery, it's God's plan that there'll be repentance and reconciliation. If that does not work, after apparently the scripture implies much effort, then in certain areas, divorce is allowed by God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible's very specific about this, very clear. You don't have to guess at it. Why is God so hard nose about this? Because divorce, the word actually means in Hebrew, the ripping of the flesh. Even that word doesn't do it justice, Davey. A better word for what the word means in Hebrew is if I were to take a pair of pliers. Now, that's a blunt instrument. Mm. It's not a strategic scalpel.
Yeah, not for cutting.
Not for cutting. Mm-hmm. But the word means if I take this pair of pliers and I shove it into your flesh. Imagine I put it in your back.
Yeah.
And I pinch down as hard as I can, and then I rip as hard as I can out. Right. The brutality of that,
yeah.
The viciousness of it, the irregular chunks that are torn out of the flesh, that's exactly the word God used for divorce.
Yeah.
It is the blunt ripping of flesh apart. Jesus said, marriage bonds or binds, welds, glues two people together so tightly that what God has joined together is that word, let no man separate. Why? Because it cannot be separated without profound and violent ripping.
Yeah.
And so it's always best to exhaust every avenue possible to fix your marriage rather than go down to the local attorney or file. That's not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
23 years of public ministry, I've never had one person come up to me and say, Pastor Jack, I'm so glad I got a divorce.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard people say my husband was horrible or my wife was horrible. It was a terrible life. And I have a wonderful spouse today.
Right.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sense where they're still grieving that breakup.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? If you're an evolutionist or something that denies the existence of God, isn't it amazing the truth of the scripture where two people coming together, body, soul, and spirit, it takes a violent ripping apart, and even still then, there seems to be a deep bond that in the worst circumstances still abides. Of course, children, we didn't even talk about kids, but
Yeah. Kids
are most often the ones who pay the ultimate price for divorce.
So why are we dealing with these statistics? And let me bring them up. Let me bring them up to you real quick. This comes from the Barna Group in Ventura, California. And I'm surprised because the population segment's listed on the left-hand side here, and the have-been-divorced segment is on the right, and I'm surprised how close all the numbers are. Evangelical Christians, 26% have been divorced, according to this survey.
Mm-hmm.
Atheists and agnostics, 30% have been divorced. 4 points in this survey is not a big spread, if you ask me. I mean, we should be down in the zero-ish area. And we're not. We're right up with the atheists and the agnostics at this point.
Yeah, two things I want to point out. Number one is marriage is a spiritual institution.
Right.
There's a lot of talk these days about redefining marriage. You can go do that all you want.
Sure.
I mean, frankly, it's a joke to me.
You're wasting your time.
You're wasting your time. You can try to redefine marriage all you want.
Right.
God's the one who invented marriage.
Right.
And he's the one that says this is marriage.
Yep.
And any other formula is not marriage. That's God. So if you have an issue, take it up with him.
Yeah, fair enough.
Marriage is a spiritual institution. Thus, the Christian marriage is under a greater threat than some secular marriage or some atheistic marriage. Now, granted, the institution of marriage is amazing, and it's universal. God has established it for in his wisdom, the propagation of mankind, the human culture, makes perfect scientific sense. But I'll just submit this. A Christian marriage bears a greater threat to the kingdom of darkness and of Satan than a secular or godless marriage. So, as a pastor, spiritual marriages are harder to maintain. Why? Because they're a greater threat, greater attack. Right. Second thing is this. You mentioned 26% of the evangelical Christians are experiencing divorce. Yes, true. But we're at a time right now where 50% plus of the baby boomers, of which you and I are in that group, are ending in divorce. Highest rate of divorce among a class, the boomers. Isn't it interesting?
I guess we're going to be the first generation
to have more divorces than marriages.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but listen to this. Boomers. The boomers changed the face of the earth.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people, my kids think I'm an old man, but it's my generation that invented the iPad.
Right.
My generation invented the Mac.
Exactly.
My generation has made the most technological advances than any other culture around. There are more boomers in power positions than any other class in American history. It just goes to show you that all the power and all the money and all the ingenuity does not help your marriage and, in fact, increases the chances of divorce if God is not the anchor of your marriage. It doesn't matter how famous or how wealthy you are. The issue is Christ the center? So when you look at 50%+ of boomers divorcing, then 26% of evangelicals, that's half.
Yeah.
That's half. We need to remember that. Could that 26% become even a lower number? I believe that.
Yeah.
How many of us who are listening right now to this broadcast, if they really, really seriously died to themselves, died to their own desires, and wound up loving their spouse just like we're supposed to love Jesus and or how Jesus loves us, where we really begin to serve one another, sacrifice ourselves for one another, that if we were to do that, if husbands were to speak to their wives, listen to their wives, love on their wives, I guarantee you that within a couple of weeks, the wife's, her demeanor, her tone of voice, yeah. everything begins to change. Yeah. Why? She's feeling loved and secured.
Right.
She's feeling happy and productive, and her personality changes. As that changes in her, he begins to feel respected mm-hmm. by her. Mm-hmm. He begins to feel honored by her. What happens? The divorce rate goes down. The children are happy. The marriage is crazy exciting, and things happen. Because why? Again, it's a spiritual institution. We are to be dying to ourselves and exalting one another. It happens in the home first. Marriage is a ministry. I firmly believe what I'm about to say. God did not bring that spouse into your life to make you happy. Oh, happily ever after.
Wow.
Well, where's that at?
Right.
That's not the reason to get married. You got a big disappointment coming. God has brought her, has brought him into your life as a Christian to make you holy. Marriage is a ministry. It is to create within you a ministry life, because Jesus put it this way: if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you focus on your life, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
And all of us know the pitfalls of putting ourselves up as the most important thing in the relationship. We're never happy.
Right.
We're always disappointed, and we're not giving. Yet you were created to serve. You were created by God to minister. You were created by God to give. I believe marriage is essential and required for good ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If your marriage stinks, you yeah. should not be involved in ministry
mm-hmm.
because the marriage ministry is first
right.
and church ministry later.
Yeah.
Because if it's bad at home, then frankly, I don't want you in the pulpit
mm-hmm.
and I don't want you counseling people at church. I don't want you really having to deal with that world when you can't take care of your own world.
Right.
Paul makes it very clear in 1 and 2 Timothy that if we are going to be servants of God, we need to first do it at home.
Yeah. Can you sum this up for us? What, basically, what are we to do as Christians with this whole God, marriage, and divorce subject?
Yeah, I would think the first thing is for husbands to start today praying for their wife and for their kids. Go home and pray. Say, just like this, "Dear Lord, bless my wife. In Jesus' name, amen." Okay, if you can't do that, then you probably can't drive or chew gum at the same
right.
time, right?
Right.
Okay, the other thing is this. Build a fence around your home.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is take a real good inventory of the places where you guys go or hang out or entertain. IT stuff, computer, iPod, iPhone, iPad, TV. What are you allowing into your home? As a man, step up and start killing some of the dragons that are coming into your
right.
kids' faces and yeah. your wife's ears. Lovingly, guys. I mean this lovingly, though, because you could go home today after hearing this and, you know, throw your computer in the pool, which
right.
might not be a bad idea sometimes, for some
yeah,
guys.
Good point.
But I'm talking about lovingly build fences around what your home's being exposed to. The people that you might allow into your life, it may be a time for a change, a cultural change in your home. When I say build fences, the Bible's very clear. We ought to wash our wife, her feet, with the water of the Word. We need to raise our kids up in the Word. And there's a way to do that. Go to a good church locally in your area. There's a lot of great resources. Find out how you can better your marriage. So, guys, I want to leave this with you. Build a fence around your home. Ask God what that looks like in your home. And lovingly, patiently, but consistently begin to do that. Battle for your house. And win your home and protect it against this culture in which we're in.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and
Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.